Welcome to the second episode in this mini-series on evangelism listening tours. In this episode, you'll hear me, Lizzie Burke, talking with my friend Kirk Peterson about how we analyzed the data from the pastor interviews and wrote the final report. So in the first episode, you kind of learned where the idea came from for this evangelism listening tour and how we went about the process of interviewing. And this episode, we focus on how to analyze the data and kind of figure out the really cool discoveries once you have all that content. So just so you understand which voices you're hearing, I'm Lizzie Burke. I'm the Associate Director of the City Gospel Movements team at the Luis Palau Association. And I get to train leaders around the world how to work together to see their city flourish and proclaim the gospel together. In this process for the listening tour in Portland, I analyzed the data and I wrote the report. I'm a member of the Share PDX team, a volunteer team of Portland area pastors and ministry leaders seeking to strengthen evangelism in our area. And I'm joining conversation with Kirk Peterson, who was super critical in this research process. Full-time, he's Northwest Senior Director for Alpha USA, and he also is the Share PDX team leader, that volunteer team I mentioned earlier. Kirk is passionate about equipping churches and ministries to fulfill their mission of helping people become followers of Jesus. So the goal for this second conversation is to give you an example of what data analysis can look like once you've done the pastor interviews described in the first episode. So if you haven't listened to the first episode, that'll be really critical context. You'll hear in this episode how we studied the data to uncover 9 key findings that give pastors perspective and motivate evangelism in really practical ways. Let's jump into the conversation between Kirk Peterson and myself, Lizzie Burke. Hey everyone, it's Lizzie Burke here with the Luis Palau Association, and I'm sitting down with Kirk Peterson with Alpha, who was in the first episode with Josh. We talked about the process for the Portland Evangelism Report, where the idea came from, so catch that if you haven't yet. This episode, we're going to be focusing on how we analyze the data to get really good content for the Portland Evangelism Report. So this is going to be about analysis, qualitative research, the basics of that. And full transparency, and hopefully this is encouraging for most of you, we are not professionally trained qualitative researchers. And if you aren't, great, because we hope that this episode can kind of equip you with the basics of what you need to analyze the interviews once you've done them. But Kirk, do you want to just open up and share a little bit of how we started to analyze the data, what the note-taking process looked like, before we kind of did a shift, which we'll talk about in this episode?
Yeah, I think we would take notes from each of the interviews. And then Josh and I would both kind of try to summarize a little bit in that process of what we were hearing. I went back for me and highlighted those. Josh would sometimes do a little video to himself after the interview just to remember what kind of stood out to him from that conversation. And then we would get together about every, you know, we did 50 interviews, probably every 10 to 12 interviews, we would sit down together for an hour or two, and it would spark great conversations that I think, Lizzie, you did a great job of then helping pull out some of the themes that we were hearing as you were listening to these interviews, looking at our notes. So we had another set of eyes, basically, and ears on all of that content. So that was kind of the process that we had done, and we finished all of the interviews and kind of summarize them in some of the themes that we had. And then we had a list of creative ideas. We called them positive deviations that were heard, not necessarily like repeatedly, but a pastor or maybe sometimes two pastors had something that they had done, a resource they had created, or something that someone in the church had done that we felt like that was a really fun idea that we just had this list of those that we kind of finished this with. And I think then we share those with a couple pastors. And why don't you talk just a little bit about where we were at that point in the process?
Yeah, so we had these summary docs. I probably did like 2 or 3 versions of the summary documents, which were essentially capturing the major themes from those monthly meetings. Okay, we did 15 interviews. What are the main themes? We did 30. What are the main themes from those 30? And, you know, these summary documents were like 3 to 4 pages long. And we shared them with some pastors who are part of the Portland Evangelism team, which we now call Share PDX. And one of the pastors was like, yeah, I mean, I pretty much expect that. And we're like, wait, we just did like you know, 12 months of interviews, and we just get a shoulder shrug, like, yeah, like I'd expect answers to be across the board. And I'd expect some, you know, this is what you're going to find. You're going to find a mix. And I think at that point, we knew the analyzing process wasn't fully complete because we wanted pastors to feel how profound this content was, because we felt how profound it was through the process. And if we weren't accurately communicating that through a written report and these pastors didn't feel that impact, we knew what we had so far in these summary documents wasn't enough. And I think, you know, those summary docs didn't include quotes from the interviews. They were just kind of large buckets of themes, probably, you know, 8 themes we had heard, but we hadn't actually interpreted the data and said, how is this actionable for pastors? How is the way that we're wording this finding going to make that pastor do a double take and reread again, because he has to know what he needs to do about that in his congregation? And so those summary docs weren't sufficient. And Kirk, you were reading it a part of this research process alongside another research process you're doing with Alpha. And that's when we were like, okay, we need to learn from Kirk, because he's doing a process we think could take this summary document to the next level. So do you want to share about that process?
Yeah, just give credit to the organization. Dialogues in Action was working with me and creating an impact report from some interviews that we had done with leaders using Alpha in their churches. And so I kind of took that process that they shared for analyzing this qualitative research, the interviews and data that had come, and coming up with some findings. And so I'm just going to explain that a little bit of the process, kind of what we did. We got a whiteboard and we started with just themes. What were the big themes that we heard? And I put those up on the board, circled them. And then around each of those themes, we kind of just put examples or descriptions that kind of fit into that theme. So, you know, they might have been something that we heard once or twice. It might have been something we heard consistently, but what were the things that kind of supported that theme? So just got, again, everything up on that board in front of us. And so we'd finish a theme, a few descriptions of it, and we'd go on to another theme. The second thing that we did was we put up what I would call themes that were in absence. These were themes that we expected to hear, some things we expected to hear about evangelism that we weren't hearing. And one of those for us was this element of prayer. Now, in full disclosure, we didn't ask a specific question to the pastors about how prayer fit into their evangelism strategy. Okay, that wasn't something that we put before them. And so it wasn't like pastors were like, well, we never pray. Like, prayer should not be part of your evangelism strategy. But it was surprising to us that we didn't hear it very often when we looked back over the 50 interviews that we did and asked them all these questions about their strategies of evangelism, how they were moving things forward and training their people. It was fairly rare that we actually heard about that. And so we just felt like that was kind of a theme that was missing that we had expected we might have heard. Another one for us was the part that the Holy Spirit plays in the role of evangelism. It had come up on a number of occasions with certain pastors, but we didn't hear it consistently as a part of what regularly people were teaching in terms of, you know, how the Holy Spirit prepares the hearts of someone that we're sharing with and really draws them to faith, you know, that it's his work and such. And so again, those for us were a couple examples of themes that we expected to hear that we didn't hear. We didn't hear it as much as we thought we would. So I think after you've done the themes, having some of those and then examples of where you did hear that, and maybe some examples where you expected to but didn't hear. Then we took the next thing that we kind of did and asked the idea of causation. What was behind some of these things in causing these themes to come out? And so, you know, were there theological kind of underpinnings that made that true? Was there things that were going on in a particular church that, you know, that did that? And again, one of the big themes that we came out from this was that evangelism really starts with that leader and the leadership within the church, not just the pastor, but the pastors, you know, whether that's a board of volunteers that serve as elders or other ministers that are on the staff in a larger church. that pastoral leadership, that leadership within the church really drove evangelism. And so we asked the question, what was the causation? Well, that was kind of a causation. Like, you know, we just met with some pastors who themselves were so passionate about the, you know, sharing the gospel and seeing lost people come to faith. And it came out in their interview conversations of relationships that they were forming outside of the church with people who had no connection to faith, so that they were kind of, again, front lines. It wasn't just people that they were sharing with on a Sunday gathering that they were, you know, sharing the gospel with. They were doing this one-on-one with neighbors, people at their local Starbucks or that kind of a thing. And so I think just asking that question of causation, we put it up there in green. So we just noted things on the board that kind of, what was the cause behind this? And not every theme had a cause, but I think it was helpful for us to kind of, again, note some of those things that were behind that. And it ended up driving some of the findings that we ended up having. The next thing that we did was we kind of added to the board what we had termed kind of positive deviations. What were those creative, maybe one-off things that a pastor had shared with us that we thought that was a really fun idea that they had taken? One pastor said, we actually wrote it into the job description of each of our staff that they have to take 3 to 4 hours of their pastoral time in a week and devote that to something that puts them in interaction with non-Christians. And I thought, what a great way to practically put this into the job description, so that your church leadership wasn't just spending time with all Christians, which is really easy to do within the context of church ministry. So again, we put those up there. Sometimes they related to a particular theme, so we'd kind of note that with a particular theme. And sometimes they actually became kind of a subset themselves. But we wanted to get those up on the board and kind of see where they kind of started to fit into this flow of things. And then we took a red marker out and we kind of drew lines of connection. What about these different themes, about these different aspects, had similarities to them? And so, you know, and you begin to see some of the themes like literally touched almost every one of the other themes that were on the board, you know, and some of them just touched a couple of them, but it helped us to kind of, again, centralize and realize what was maybe really driving some of these things that we hadn't necessarily realized, like what theme actually was a larger theme of causation or connection to the other things than some of the other findings that we had. And so after we'd done all of that, we kind of stepped back in the board and then we started to ask the question, okay, what is a finding that we see on this board that is, as Lizzie, you were saying, that is compelling to a pastor, not just something they go, oh yeah, but would be helpful to them, would cause them to stop and think a little bit, and might even begin to shift the way that they think about and approach this area of evangelism and training in evangelism and inspiring others to share their faith. And so we just put post-it notes up on the board with those findings and tried to, as best we could, even in that first step, write them up in such a way that they were a little bit jarring, a little bit compelling. Like there was something about them that grabbed your attention. And it didn't necessarily incorporate the whole of that theme, but it wasn't just themes, although findings did relate to certain themes. But then we just put those up on the board and tried to look at it all and say, okay, in these, what termed for us, 9 findings, have we captured all of the main things that we think we heard in these interviews? And I think that's when we stepped back and said, okay, I think we've got it. And so from that, those findings and the themes, or sometimes the learnings, the surprises that we saw, sometimes the causation of that, that's where we begin to then draw out the theme, draw out some of the quotes. And as we begin to put the report together, it really came out of that process of looking at these various things on the board. That process for us probably took 2-3 hours. I mean, this was not a fast thing, but we sat in a room and again, I think we all felt like at the end of that, we had captured some of the real spark, some of the real life around what we had been hearing in these interviews that maybe the earlier documents or the earlier summaries had maybe been missing.
Yeah, no, and that's so helpful, Kirk. I know that after we, at the end of that kind of 2.5 hour, 3 hour analysis time with the whiteboard, it felt like, oh, we have something here. And that's when I knew, okay, it's ready. We can write the report now because these findings are worth sharing. So that was really helpful. And I think, so one of the findings even was most churches underestimate the impact of celebration. But we didn't get to that immediately. We were just talking about, okay, baptisms. Every church mentions baptism, but what else? And I think through conversation, we're like, most churches underestimate the impact of celebration. Wow, that's something that a pastor could look back on and say, I want to do something about that. And then a lot of churches were mentioning training. So we had evangelism equipping on the board, you know, circled. But what we realized the finding was, is that while churches do training, the ones that are really successful and see people not just hear about evangelism, but then do evangelism are those that incorporate experience. So the stated finding was evangelism equipping without experience falls flat. And that finding we feel like is also something that causes readers or listeners, you know, to this report to say, oh, we need to reassess the way we do things. We can't just have equipping. We also need experience throughout that. So after we had that half day where we went through this analysis process that Kirk just described, Kirk and I were emailing back and forth for a couple weeks after that, as then I wrote the report. And what we wanted to do for sure, you know, is share something that was compelling and captivating to readers, but priority was to honor and be accurate to what was said through the interview. So we were kind of trying to balance that. How do we communicate something in a way that catches people's attention, but then also honors the voices that shared with us? And so we knew we wanted to include quotes in the report for every single finding from the voices of the pastors. What did they say about this topic? So each of the 9 findings, which are outlined in the report, include 1 or 2 key quotes from a pastor who we think shared about that idea in a provocative way or supported the finding. And then after that, I wrote 2 to 3 paragraphs, kind of giving commentary on that finding. Like, why is that find? How did that finding come up? How is that a theme? What are specific things churches were doing around that topic that would be really helpful to give context to the readers? So for instance, again, with this idea of baptism, that the finding was most churches underestimate the impact of celebration. I, in the commentary, describe how nearly every church mentions baptism as the key way they celebrate evangelism, but a few of them had really creative ideas for the ways they leverage that monthly or annual baptism time to make it a time of storytelling and celebration. It was a bigger deal than just somebody getting dunked in the water. You know, people met pastors directly afterwards. Some churches followed a specific liturgical celebration so that more stories were shared. And there was a party after the baptism. So there's just a greater celebration of faith sharing and people coming to faith. So in those 2 to 3 paragraphs, I was able to kind of highlight specific examples from churches that readers could say, oh, I want to pull that specific practice and apply that to my church. And then the other thing was, like Kirk mentioned, these positive deviations where, you know, maybe it's a specific innovative idea, or maybe it's something a church does really consistently that leads to really effective faith sharing. I was able to describe those more at length in those 2-3 paragraphs. And then these reflection questions we have for each of the findings were really critical, that we asked questions that were for pastors and that were very actionable. So it wasn't just, oh, that's an interesting thing to think about, but if I think about this, it's going to lead me to act or change the way I lead my staff or change the way I develop evangelists in my church. And Kirk, you are a huge help in that, and constantly asking, how can we make this more actionable? How can we make this more applicable? Especially because your background being, you know, a pastor and working at a church, I think you were able to filter what would be a good question and what wouldn't be as helpful. So can you share maybe even a little bit of how those reflection questions were significant to you and what you hope the impact of those questions is in the report?
Yeah, I guess I feel like the reflection questions really were kind of a little bit of a call to action, but done in a way that would provide them a context for asking and evaluating just on their own team, what's going on here and how can we improve? Are we doing this? This finding said this. Is that happening here? In what ways could we grow in that space? And so, yeah, I think using the context of a question, again, we're not trying to presume, and we didn't want the report to come off as, hey, here's the 8 secrets to what you need to be doing to be effective in evangelism. As much as we wanted it to spark their own thinking around what is God prompting us to do, again, in our church, in our part of the city, in our context here, to grow in this area of seeing people come to faith. And so that's why I think the approach with the questions was really helpful. One other piece, Lizzie, that I think we tried to do a little bit of was grabbing some statistical analysis along the way. And we didn't have many of these because, again, it wasn't like a survey type of thing where you just had raw data you were looking at. But we did ask some questions around what percentage of the churches did we hear talk about prayer? So we were able to go back to some of our interview notes and kind of capture some of those things. And again, it's probably not 100% because my notes weren't every comment made in that 40 minutes. But, you know, I think between Josh and I, the notes that we took kind of summarized pretty well the things that that came out as we had these different discussions. And so you might find, as you look at the questions and such, that is there some statistical support that is actually helpful in this? Like, you know, how many of the churches actually said that baptisms was a part of what they did or used a particular outreach for their equipping or for their evangelism and such? So those were some things that I think in that latter part, as we were putting the report together, we just asked the question, are there some statistical pieces here that we could go back and that was, again, I think your background and maybe coding some of that stuff as you had gone through the interviews was helpful to be able to kind of pull out and say, okay, yeah, this interview included this interview included this one didn't, and give us some support for some of the findings that we were putting forward there.
Yeah. And some of those quantitative infographics that we included were at that point where we were asking, oh, there's something that we could put here that would really support the finding. And that's where those infographics came in. And while, again, I mentioned I'm not a professionally trained qualitative researcher, I do want to give a shout out to Stacey Michelson from Emmanuel Gospel Center, who has been coaching me in qualitative research and just saying, hey, even if you aren't trained at a university in this, you can understand the basics of coding for themes and repeated things in your notes and in the interviews. And so as I went through the notes that Kirk and Josh took, the notes that I took on the interviews, some of those key data points that we felt like would really support the findings were, one of the findings was Sunday gatherings remain a primary focus for evangelistic outreach. And in Portland, and I know a lot of your cities, for those who are listening, going to church is becoming less and less. It's not really a thing people do. And so one of the things, Kirk, you were a big advocate for was saying, hey, why are Sunday gatherings leaned on by 68% of the churches that we interviewed? And so even just having that data point, that 68% of pastors mentioned Sunday gatherings as the key place where evangelism was practiced, we want to say, okay, why is that? Well, one, because it's working, but two, can we think about other ways that we can do evangelism, especially if people who don't know Jesus, even people who are calling themselves Christians, are not going to church? And I think another, you know, we only had probably 4 or 5 infographics or stats, quantitative stats, but I think they really helped to give a robust support for some of the key findings. And then just one other one I'll mention is one finding was the Holy Spirit's role in people coming to faith is essential but overlooked. And that's similar to either in this episode or last, Kirk, you mentioned that prayer is something that didn't come up much. And the Holy Spirit didn't come up much. And we were surprised about that. And through you know, again, coding through some of the notes and the data, we were able to learn that less than a third, 27%, so less than a third of pastors mentioned the Holy Spirit in their entire interview. Yet whenever the Holy Spirit was mentioned, it was always connected to fruit and increased enthusiasm around evangelism. Once you go through and you find the findings, sometimes these stats can really just be the cherry on top and be the thing that leaders remember and say, I want that stat to change. So some of that extra effort to find the stats within the qualitative research make the report that much more impactful. So Kirk, you've shared a bit of what the process looked like for us to kind of say, we know there's more here. How can we create a report that is as significant as we believe the content is? As listeners are hearing this for the first time and considering what this could look like in their city, what are some key takeaways that you would recommend they really tune into here as we kind of wrap up this conversation?
Yeah, I think I would say don't just settle for what seems obvious. It would have been maybe easy to say, hey, we finished this process, we've got this summary document, feels good to be done. And I think looking and just knowing that there were pieces of this that were not yet really incorporated in a way that I think pastors would be able to chew on, and it would make them kind of stop, pause, and think, and maybe rethink a little bit of their direction. You're going to put a good amount of time into this effort. And again, I think as Josh and I had mentioned on the last episode, the process really does have a benefit just in itself for the pastor that you're talking to and for the learnings that coming to you as a team that are trying to move evangelism forward in your city. But I feel like the process that we did in analysis was important for us, but I think also important for the church. And so that would be my encouragement is if you look at your findings at the end of this and feel like, oh yeah, those are kind of obvious, or that's what I would have thought, maybe dig a little deeper, because I think there's probably more that you have uncovered and unpacked in this journey that would be compelling for the church leaders in your city. And I think that's what I look forward to, Lizzie, as other cities do this process and their reports come out. It'll be interesting to see where there are similarities in findings, but also where a particular city has some uniqueness in terms of what they found, what they heard from pastors in that season, and how they're going to move forward with that. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is capturing the little glimpses of this from all around. So that's my nudge, is just keep pushing in on it.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I would also just say that none of us could have done this alone. And so when I wrote something, I would run it by Kirk, I would run it by Josh and say, hey, is this accurate? Like, what do you think of this? Am I missing anything? And having multiple eyes and ears on things really helped. And I think just developed a stronger relationship between us as we on the Share PDX team are thinking about what does it look like to collaborate going forward. And this is a really tangible process to work together. And then the other thing, you know, I mentioned when we had these summary documents before we went through a deeper analysis that Kirk led us through, we ran it by a couple pastors and just got their thoughts on it. And so I would recommend, like, if you do a draft of the report, like, run it by a couple pastors and see, is this helpful? Like, what would you want to see? What would be more actionable for you? What are you hoping that we can provide? And allow them to challenge and to say, this is like a no duh for us, or the way this phrased, I don't think it's really going to apply. So not just having the team members' perspectives on it, but getting it to people who will be using this as a resource before you tie every little, you know, loose end before the end, I think is really great. So we hope this conversation was helpful in giving you a little bit, kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit and showing how we did some of the data analysis for the Portland Evangelism Report. And we will have some documents on citygospelmovements.org/team that show you a picture of the whiteboard, which looks a little bit crazy from that day that Kirk and I were describing, where we really said there's more here to the data. So you can see that whiteboard and see a couple of documents that outline some of the steps that Kirk was was mentioning. So we hope this was helpful, and just encourage you that this process of listening to pastors in your city is worthwhile. And whether you do a full-on report or not, we encourage you to listen to the pastors, listen to what's currently happening in your city in evangelism, because God is at work and there are great ideas in your backyard. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to read the full Portland Evangelism Report and access other evangelism resources for your city, go to citygospelmovements.org/team.